Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Well, it's Tuesday morning. Pastor Colin is in the Lake District, I think, somewhere. Not because he wanted a holiday, but because he's got to go to Scotland, and obviously all the flights are all over the place. So he's up there for a couple of days writing and chilling out. And, writing anyway, I don't know if he's chilling out, but he's certainly writing. And he's off to Scotland this weekend. So we've got a little word for you this morning, is that right?
Yes.
Fairly simple thing. So turn to Matthew 25. This is one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. And there's loads in here. But we're just going to do a quick kind of connecting the three parables that Jesus... or the two parables and then the last analogy or story that Jesus talked about. Just going to link them all together for a moment this morning and see what it means for us. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve Kennedy was here and he spoke really about the gospel, about our responsibility for other people and what God wants to do through our lives to see other people saved. And you know, this geared around the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's a command to every believer, not just to leaders, but to every person that comes to know Jesus. God's purpose is that they are disciples, not just, you know, there are some that are Christians and there are some that are disciples. And as far as God's concerned, everybody is to be a disciple of Jesus. And as far as he's concerned, he wants everybody to be making disciples. And that's the last command that he gave them, apart from going up to the upper room to wait for the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the mandate for your life on earth now, from this time onwards, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what the Holy Spirit's for. That's why I'm giving you what I have. And that's why I can't be with you any longer, because you need to have me inside of you, so that wherever you go, I can be everywhere. Even Jesus in his humanity could only be in one place at a time. Yet we are the body of Christ, so we can go to all kinds of places, and that's why we needed the Holy Spirit, so that God could be seen, manifested, revealed, whatever, at any place, at any given time, because there are loads of us that are full of who he is, to release and to reveal his life, his power, his love, his grace, or whatever needs to happen in a situation. And so we're life givers this morning. Every one of us in this room, no matter how things are going, how tough things might be, how great things might be going, every person in this room or listening to this message, every person is a life-giving person this morning. You are full of life. You have the overflowing life. You have abundant life. You have the fullness of life. You have a victorious life. You have an authority of God's life in you. You have nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. So you are full of life. You're overflowing with life. You are humming with life. You are bursting with life. You are breaking forth. What a out of the old King James or whatever. With life. And why? Because you have God on the inside of you. When you've got God on the inside of you, you never, ever lack anything that you need.
Very good.
Okay, let's have a look at Matthew 25 and just have a look at a few things here. This morning's message is called Be Ready, Live Ready. Be ready, live ready, okay? Let's have a look. We're going to read all of this chapter and pick out bits as we go. Matthew 25. Parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins. This future revelation of the kingdom of heaven can be likened to 10 bridesmaids. Just before this, in the end of chapter 24, Jesus has been speaking about the second coming of the Son of Man, okay? So he's talking about, he's revealing in some ways that he is the Son of Man, but he's also saying, look, the Son of Man's going to return, okay? So he's talking about, so then linked with that, he says, this future revelation, this understanding that Jesus is coming back, that the Son of Man is coming back, so he's putting it in the context, this future revelation of the kingdom of heaven can be likened to 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and five were wise. How many of you want to be wise?
Yes.
How many of you want to be foolish? Right, so we all want to be wise, right? Okay. Although the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any spare oil with them. However, the wise took jars of oil as well as their lamps. Now, because the bridegroom was such a long time in coming, they all became tired and fell asleep. Then at midnight, they heard a shout. Here comes the bridegroom. Come and meet him. All the bridesmaids awoke and prepared their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the wise, our lamps are going out. Give us some of your oil. But the wise ones were really generous. And they said, no, get lost. Go and get your own. There's not enough for all of us. You must go and get your own. Go and buy it. And it's midnight. Where, you know, I mean, the shops probably weren't open that long. Now you'd be able to go and buy some more with 24-hour shopping. But back then, obviously, wasn't happening. No Tesco's 24 hours. You must go and buy some of your oil for yourselves. But while on their way to the store, that wasn't, the bridegroom arrived. The wise bridesmaids were ready and followed him into the wedding feast. Then the doors were shut. Later, the foolish ones arrived. Sir, sir, they pleaded, open the door so that we can come in. But the bridegroom responded, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Well, so be on the alert because you do not know the day or the time when the bridegroom will come for you. God. Be ready, live ready. So initially, this first one of three is about being ready. And then the other two that we're going to read in a moment are going to tell us how to live ready. Okay? In terms of being ready. Now, these 10 bridesmaids, whoever they were, virgins, or they were waiting for the bridegroom. There was an expectation that any moment he could arrive. Now, back then, the groom would go to the house of the bride. That's where the ceremony would be. And you got all these 10, you know, friends, bridesmaids, you know, with all their kit on, all their dresses and makeup and all of that. But they got their lamps and they're ready. They're waiting for the groom and they're expectant. They want to join this procession that's going to go in for this great celebration of this marriage that's about to take place. And because he's taking so long, normally it's the woman that's late, isn't it? The bride that's late. But obviously, that wasn't a dig. It's just that's what happens these days, isn't it? But in this culture, the groom is the one that had to arrive to where the bride was. And the guy was obviously down the pub or he was shopping or the football was on or something was going on that was, you know, he wanted to make sure that Arsenal were going to definitely win the league. Oh. And next season anyway.
Come on, Wigan.
Whoa!
I'm just making sure that what comes out is a response and not a reaction. Okay. Get behind me, Satan. There you go. Now, interesting response here. When the five who realized that their lamps had gone out, the groom had arrived, they said to the others, can we have some of your oil? And the other five turned round and said, no way. Now, what's all that about? What is being ready? There's two parts to your Christian life. There's your relationship with God, which is the sort of vertical. And there's the outward reality of that, which is expressed in the horizontal. So you have a relationship with God this way, prayer, worship, you know, all of that kind of stuff, where you're spending time with the Lord, you're in the Word, you're talking, listening, and that side of things. But then that relationship's got to be expressed through relationships. It's got to be expressed with other people. And the expression of your relationship with God is determined or is seen or shown by how you relate and express that life that you have with God with other people, okay? And really this initial parable is really about somebody's initial relationship with God, being ready with God, because you can't borrow somebody else's relationship from God. You can't buy somebody else's relationship with God. You see, they all arrived with oil in their lamps, all of them. So they were all walking with God. So they all started well. And they started well, but as time went on, some of them had made provision for the journey, thinking, well, this might take longer than we think. So I'm going to take enough provision that no matter how late this guy could be, I've got enough on the journey to make sure that I'm ready for whenever he arrives, that I'm not caught by surprise. The others just thought, well, I've got a lamp full, you know, that'll be enough. But yet on the journey, they ran out of steam. They ran out of oil. And in their walk with God or in their relationship with God, they then began to look to beg, steal, borrow, get something from somebody else because they'd missed the moment. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the moment. Yeah, that's right. Now, this is quite a simple, straightforward word this morning. And we want to live like there's no tomorrow. We want to think like there's no tomorrow. Jesus said himself, didn't he? Don't take any care or thought for tomorrow because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. What is he saying? He's saying live fully today, what is before you today. And when you come to tomorrow, if you live in the same way tomorrow as you live today, then you're going to continue in your walk because you're appropriating everything of who I am into your life today. And then when you come to tomorrow, then you can deal with the things that you're going to need to deal with tomorrow when you get there. But walk through and deal with all the stuff that you need to deal with today. So focus your faith and focus your relationship with me, your walk with me on taking steps today, not steps tomorrow. Because the steps you take today will step you into tomorrow. Enable you to walk with me in a right way tomorrow. So what are you doing when you're walking with God? You are making provision for the journey. So what is keeping their lamps trim? That's in one sense, just spending time with God. It's keeping short accounts with God, making sure your heart is clean with God, making sure there's no dirt in your life, you know, with God. There's nothing dirty on the wick. You know, if there's dirt on the wick, then the match can't light the thing. Or if it does, it's very smoky and dirty, and there needs to be a bit of cleaning up so that the light that then comes off the lamp is very clear, it's very bright, and it's not mixed with any dirt or anything like that. And so you keeping short accounts with God is key in terms of being ready to live ready. And so keeping short accounts with God, making sure that you're not taking any offense, you've not got a chip on your shoulder, you're not saying I've got a right to be like this towards that person. Just keep short accounts. And we've heard enough recently about being dead to those kind of things, or, you know, live by the spirit and not in the soul, that kind of stuff. And and so here these guys, the ones that have got this, the spare oil, they're the ones keeping short accounts with God. They're the ones taking attention to the moment so that their walk today is giving them the resource they need for the walk tomorrow. See, what you do today will set you up for tomorrow. What you do last thing at night will set you up for what happens the next day. And so it's all about a walk. It's all about the journey that we are on. And these guys, and what Jesus is saying here is, look, make sure you're attentive. Make sure you're awake. Make sure your wick is trimmed. Make sure your walk is keeping short accounts. Make sure there's no dirt on your life. Make sure you're listening out, you're ready, because at any given moment he could return. Now, we know that Jesus probably isn't going to return today. And that's often why we think, oh, well, he's not going to return for a bit, so I've got a bit of time. Whereas actually he's saying, no, live like I'm coming back today. Live like there isn't going to be a tomorrow. Right, let's have a look at this next part of the story, or next part of the chapter, because it kind of links in. Okay, be ready, live ready. You can also compare the kingdom of heaven to a man who, because he was going to be away on a long journey, called his servants together and gave them various sums of money to put to use. To one he gave 5,000, to another 2,000, and to a third 1,000, knowing they had different abilities. The man who had been entrusted with 5,000 used the money well and doubled the amount, making a further 5,000. The servant who had been given 2,000 also doubled the amount and made a further 2,000 profit. However, the man with the 1,000 merely found a safe place and hid his master's money. Now, how many of you read in the story, when we read these stories and we read about adventurous people, or you watch an adventurous film or whatever, we always concentrate on the one who does the best, right? That's the one you want to identify with. And like at the beginning, when I said, how many of you want to be wise? Everybody goes, yeah, yeah, of course I do. How many of you want to be the man with 5,000 that makes it 10,000? Yes. Yeah. And so you're all like, yeah, that's me. 2,000, I don't want 2,000, I want 5,000. And then when we read the bit where it says, the guy who had 1,000 buried it, and all of us are like, no, that's not me. No, I'm the 5,000 man. You know, because there's something in us that wants to connect with success. There's something in us that wants to connect with fruitfulness. There's something in us that does not like no productivity. There's something in us that has a reaction against the guy's attitude who only had 1,000 and he buried it. There's something in us that reacts to that. Say, no, I don't want to be like that. No, he buried it. Oh, what a loser. There's something in us that says, oh, why didn't he have a go? Why didn't he just have a go like the 2,000 or the 5,000 guy? Why didn't he just have a go? He had nothing to lose. There's something in us that wants to see increase. There's something in us that wants to see more than we've seen before. But many times it's very easy to act like the 1,000 man. So in this story, here's the landowner, the business guy, whoever he is in this situation. And he said, I'm going away on a long journey. I'm not going to be back for quite a while. So I'm going to entrust to you my business or the kingdom or whatever it is. Unless for us, it's the kingdom. God has entrusted us with his kingdom on earth. I think that's amazing. Yeah. That when Jesus went up to heaven, it's like, right. On earth, Jesus could give instructions and everybody had to jump to it. But yet when he went up, it's like, okay, this is the bit now where we're really going to have some faith ourselves from heaven to earth, because we're going to release the Holy Spirit. But there's no guarantee that any of these people are actually going to do the right thing with the Holy Spirit, because they're going to have to walk with him. They're going to have to listen to him. They're going to have to obey him. They're going to have to be learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So God was taking a big, huge step of faith. And we don't often think like that, but God was taking a massive step of faith with Jesus going up back to heaven, and then the Father sending the Holy Spirit for us. And what he's basically saying is, I've entrusted the extension of my kingdom to people on earth. That's amazing. So it's not that God is somewhere else on the earth doing a whole load of stuff, and that over in England we just have the Holy Spirit to help us out, but he's really moving somewhere else. God's in heaven. He's also on earth, but he's in you and me. But he's entrusted us to see his kingdom extended. So we have an awesome responsibility. Not a pressure, but we have an awesome responsibility to do something with the kingdom that we've been entrusted with. And in here, you know, what the parable's talking about is, some are entrusted with more than others because of their ability or because of their call or anything like that. It doesn't matter whether it's 5,000, 2,000 or 1,000. It actually, what Jesus is talking about here, it's not the amount, it's what you do with what is in your hand. It's what you do with what has been entrusted to you. That's what God is interested in. So the landowner or the business guy or the guy who's running that kingdom, he said, I'm going on a long journey to do some other business elsewhere. So I'm entrusting you guys. What I want you to do while I'm not around is extend the kingdom. What I want you to do is take all the giftings, all the anointing, all of the stuff that I've put in you, my life, my power, the authority I've given you, my grace, my mercy. And what I want you to do is I want you to take everything that I'm entrusting to you right now, and I want you to do it while I'm away, because I'm going to be doing some other stuff. While I'm away, I want you to extend the kingdom so that when I come back, I'm going to come back to so much more than what I've left. Now, they didn't know when the guy was coming back. And we know that two of them doubled their what they'd been given, and one of them buried it. Let's have a look at verse 16 for a minute in this story. Or we'll read to... The man who had been entrusted with 5,000 used the money well and doubled the amount, making a further 5,000. Now, just link that in with verse 21, where the guy just said, I had 5,000 doubled to 10,000. The master says, you have done well. You are a good and faithful servant. Now, what's God saying? Let's just put it in real biblical terms. Just have a go.
Right. Come on.
That's what God's saying to you this morning, okay? Just have a go.
Very good.
If we're not careful, we can try and concentrate so much on trying to get it right that we end up getting it wrong.
Very good.
Or we're so focused on trying to get it right that actually we don't do anything because we're afraid of getting it wrong.
Right. Very good.
And one of the things for me, I just believe, you know, God says to us, look, just give it a go. Just have a go. Just take something, you know, you got to give to grow. You got to release it for something to happen. And we've just got to have a go.
Very good.
It's in the having a go that the Holy Spirit can lead you.
Come on.
That's I believe the Holy Spirit loves it when we just step out to move towards something. Then he can guide us in the right direction or at the right moment. He can stop you as well, you know. Holy Spirit's big enough to stop you. Also, we've got to remember that, you know, that if you say, oh, you know, I just want to see this happen, well, go move towards it. If the Holy Spirit's saying, oi, you know, he'll let you know.
Come on.
But you've got to give to grow. No, we won't go there yet. Okay. So the guy comes back, and the first guy, 5,000 to 10,000, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's joy. Okay, the other guy, 2,000 to 4,000. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in my delight. And so the master is actually looking, he's hoping, he's wanting these guys to increase. He's coming back not with an expectation, but with an inspection. Now, what's the difference? I could say to some of you guys today certain things, and I could just say, well, I've said it now, so they'll go and do it. And I could expect you to do it, but you might not do it. But if I said to you guys, right, on Friday morning when we'll come together, what I want to know from every one of you between now and then is that everybody's got to pray for at least one person that needs to be healed, and you've got to share the gospel with at least one person. So on Friday, when we all come back, every one of us is then going to tell a story or two stories, one of what happened when we prayed for somebody who was sick and what happened when you gave the gospel to somebody. Or if it's the same person and they get a double whammy, brilliant, you know, whatever. But if I said to you, right, Friday morning, 9 o'clock, we're all going to come in here and every one of us are going to tell the stories of what happens in the next few days, you'd all be like, oh my word, right, he's going to... Right, so it's not just have a go this week. He's actually going to come back and say, right, did you double your money? Did you release something? Did something happen? What happened when you prayed for somebody? What happened when you shared the gospel? What took place? And so there's not just an expectation, but there's going to be an inspection. Now, that inspection is not a negative thing. What I wanted to know is, how did you get on? What happened? You see, and as the stories begin to go around the room, everybody's like, oh, this is brilliant, brilliant. Now, what's the first thing that then people say? Why don't we do more of this? Isn't it?
Yeah.
So in one sense, you can see as much as you want to see. You can see as much as you want to see. As much as you make yourself available in your life, you will see God do things through you. See, God is ready to do all sorts of things every day through your life, through me and you, you and me, through us. So God's ready. God's already working. God's moving all over the place right now. It's just we want to join in with where he's moving. Okay, let's just read this story. The third guy buries it and he comes back and it describes in here in the parable that the owner, the landowner, the lord, whoever it is in the story, he was not a happy person at that moment. He was pretty cheesed off with this guy saying, look at everything I gave you and you buried the thing. At least you could have put it in the bank to get a bit of interest, you know. At least you could have gone to church. At least you could have served or hosted or I don't know, at least you could have done something, done the car parking or, you know, you could have just at least have done something to at least smile at somebody, to do something with what I'd put on the inside of you. At least just anything. But what you did, you buried it because you were gripped with fear. And so, I mean, it talks about the wailing and gnashing of teeth and all of that kind of thing. But it's interesting how he's not just talking about believers and unbelievers. He's talking about believers here. What did you do with what you have been given? What did you do with the abilities, the gifts, the anointing, and all of that kind of stuff, okay? So the first thing we've got to be ready, which is your walk with God and keeping short accounts with God and making sure your wick is trim. There's no dirt on you in that sense that you're aware of. And that you keep your lamp full by, and your spare thing full by walking with God, listening to him, keeping short accounts, responding to what he's saying. But then we get into, well, what has God given us then? God's given us himself. God's anointed us. God's given us the fullness of life. He's given us the fullness of who he is to take his salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us responsibility to see the kingdom extended all over the place. Yeah. Kingdom extended is just his kingdom getting into somebody else's life. The kingdom is not extended by it growing in you. The kingdom is extended when it goes from one to another, when somebody else then receives the kingdom. The kingdom's going to grow in you all the time. So the kingdom can grow in you, but God wants to extend it beyond you into somebody else, okay? Let's have a look at the last story here, sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man returns, he will come in glory, attended by angels, and he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, so he will divide the people into two groups. Those who are his sheep will be placed on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to the sheep on his right, you are blessed by my Father. Brilliant. So come and claim your inheritance, the kingdom he prepared for you since creation began. Wow, that's awesome. He's already got it all ready for you before anything was created. For you fed me when I was hungry and you satisfied my thirst. Now, the first story is being ready. The second is what have you been given? And the third is what did you do with it? And Jesus breaks it down into really, really simple, practical, tangible, reachable things that we do in our everyday life. So what is this? This third one is the normal Christian life. Okay, so this parable or this story is the normal Christian life. Okay, what does it say here? Jesus said, you can have this kingdom prepared since creation began. Claim your inheritance. You are blessed because you fed me when I was hungry and you satisfied my thirst. When I came to you in the form of a stranger, you invited me in to stay. When I needed clothing, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you cared for me. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. So what does he say? And what was the response? Then the righteous, the sheep, will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we satisfy your thirst? When did we invite you in as a stranger or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for another person who I regard as my brother, you actually did for me. Why did the sheep ask that question back? When did we do these things? Why did they ask? Because they had their lifestyle was just to do those things. And they didn't realize on one level, it was, well, this is what we do. This is how we live. This is the way it is. This is what you do. You meet people's needs. You see God touch people's lives. You go the extra mile. You do things that interrupt your schedule. You give when it's not comfortable to give. You serve when actually there might be something else that you want to do. You get taken off down this road because somebody's need needs met here rather than me doing my own thing there. So they lived. There was something about there. They just understood, well, that's what being a Christian is all about. That's what being a believer, that's what being a sheep is all about. You see, they didn't separate in their minds what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. The sheep didn't say, well, the spiritual thing is to be in a meeting, or the spiritual thing is to worship Jesus, or the spiritual thing is to read the Bible, or the spiritual thing is to pray. If I do those things, then what I do in the natural is then going to be all right, because I've prayed and because I've worshipped, or because I've done what I think is the spiritual bit of my life, then what I then go and do in the rest of the day is going to be blessed because I've done the spiritual bit. And obviously Jesus in this story doesn't separate the spiritual out from the natural like that. What he's saying is to be spiritual is to do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. If the Holy Spirit nudges you at any given moment, and sometimes what is being led by the Holy Spirit? Is being led by the Holy Spirit always having to have a sense of do this now, do this now, do this there, what should I do, you know, all of that? Or is being led by the Holy Spirit when you're in a situation, you see something, you just move, I want to do something.
That's it. Come on.
Yeah. Now, is that you or is that the Holy Spirit? It could be both. It could be either. But if you move towards something, then you give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to really kick in to show you what to do or what not to do at that moment. And God doesn't, Jesus doesn't distinguish here, this is spiritual, this is not spiritual. And sometimes we struggle with doing something very, very practical because we don't put that in the spiritual category that kind of equals prayer or worship or being at a meeting or something like that, you know. And what Jesus is saying is, look, you are blessed, claim your inheritance, here's a kingdom prepared in advance because you fed me, you satisfied my thirst, you looked after me when I was a stranger, you clothed me, you cared for me, and when I was in prison you visited me. Because then it says, then the righteous sheep. So what is God talking about? He's talking about faith here, having a very definite action in your life. Faith has a very visual action to go with it. It was the faith that the sheep had that enabled them to be like they were, going the extra mile, visiting people in prison, clothing, serving, feeding. Because when you begin to do those kind of things, you'll find it begins to draw on the resources that you have. You're going to find that if you're going to feed somebody, you've got to buy more food. If you're going to give people drink, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to house somebody, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to visit people, you've got to go somewhere. It's outside of your schedule. But it's interesting for these guys with these sheep, it was something they wanted to do. So it wasn't in the category of ministry. It wasn't in the part of their week that was, well, this is the moment in my week when I do my outreach or when the church is doing something. So they wanted to do it. It was their way of life. It was their lifestyle. It was just, this is who we are. I am a giving person. I am a person of life. I am a life giver. And so I can draw on that life. I can care for people, meet needs. I can clothe people because I'm not limited by my own resources. Because what I'm doing now is I'm connecting into the resources of who God is in my life and what he can provide for others through me. So therefore, these guys were living a life of faith because they were just in their very everyday practical lives understanding that my needs have already been met, and so now I have everything I need to meet the needs of others with faith in the power of God to see something happen in somebody else's life. Then he goes on and talks about those that, the goats, and verse 41, then the king will say to the goats on his left, go away from me into the eternal fire made ready for the devil and his angels. For you are cursed. I was hungry, but you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you did not care. I was a stranger, and you ignored me. And I was cold, and you gave me nothing to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you avoided me. Then the goats will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or cold, sick or in prison, and did nothing to help you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. When you fail to do any of these things for other people I regard as my brothers, you refuse to do them for me. Then the goats will suffer eternal punishment, but the righteous sheep will enjoy eternal life. It's funny, isn't it, when we read these scriptures, because it can easily sound like just a list of do good. And but Acts 10:38, anybody know what that verse says? Peter's talking about Jesus here. He said Jesus was what? Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went round doing good. We like the next bit. He went round doing good and what? How many of you at the Bible school here? You need to learn some verses in the Bible. Actually, that's one thing. Every week, they need to learn at least two or three memory verses every week, these guys.
Very good.
Oh, at least two or three. Acts 10:38. Peter described Jesus as a man who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of or by the devil. What's the next bit? Hallelujah. There's somebody here who knows the Bible. You just read it. Oh, she just read it. You just found it. Yeah, at least you found it. Yeah, you know where the book of Acts is. And it says, and God was with him. Why was God with him? Because he kept his wick trimmed.
Come on.
And he kept short accounts with God. That's why God was with him.
Very good.
See, God with us is not just a nice, well, he's in me, so he's with me. When it talks about God with us, it's not just, in those verses in Matthew where it talks about where two on earth gather together in my name, there I am, you know, amidst them. It's not just, well, because we're here, now God's here. It's all connected with faith and with the activity of God and what he wants to do. It's all about agreement with one another. It's all about agreement with God. So when it says where two on earth are gathering my name, it's all about where two on earth are agreeing, they're moving in faith, and they've got an expectancy to see an outcome. When it says, and God was with him, it's because God was going to do something through him, because he was walking with God. It's like God said, I'm going to be with Jesus because stuff's going to happen through him. So that's what it means when God is with us, Emmanuel. It's not God's just here, nice. God's here because we're here, brother. That's not what it means. You can have a whole bunch of Christians in a room and none of them agree with each other. They're all at odds and cheesed off with each other. God is certainly not going to be there to do anything unless there's some repentance. Then God's going to turn up and be with them to do something. All right, so we've got to get rid of some of the nice Christianity that we think goes on. You know, we've got to, you know, God is holy.
Right. Yeah.
And he's going to be where people want to walk in holiness and live like that. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. Mother Teresa was asked a question. How do we stop all the wars in the world? And she said, well, the first place to start is for everybody to go home and love their family.
That's it.
It's like, well, what's that got to do with changing the world? How do we stop all the wars in the world? She said, well, it will start if everybody went home and just began to love their family. What a great answer. She spoke a few years ago. Obviously, she's not alive now, but she was invited to speak in America quite a few years ago, where there were world leaders, rich people, influential people, you know, a whole huge thing. And she was asked to be the keynote speaker. And so here's all these people that are running nations and governments and multi-millionaires in the room are all paying, you know, behind the scenes stuff going on. And here's this old lady who stood up in front of all these world-shaking leaders or whatever, you know. And she was asked to do a keynote speech to all these people. And, you know, they're all expecting, you know, all this kind of stuff to come out of her life. And this old lady stands up there. And she was quite challenging, confronted, you know, some of the attitudes and all of that that were going on. But basically, her message was, you can only change the world one person at a time by meeting one need at a time. And she said some things about greed and power hunger and all this kind of stuff. But she basically, her whole thing was, you can have everything that you have, but not change anything or anybody. But you can only change the world one person at a time by meeting one need at a time. It's like, brilliant. We can have all the vision in the world. But it's got to be earth somehow. In the tangible, everydays of life. And that's why God gives all of us His Holy Spirit. If God was just going to move one day, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If it was just about one day the Holy Spirit's going to turn up and the whole nation's going to be transformed, God's going to move, it's going to be awesome, and we're just going to go, come on, Jesus, you're brilliant, we would not need the Holy Spirit. All we would need to do is wait in a room, sit there and wait and say, okay, is today the day? Well, it was obviously not today. If it was just going to be about the Holy Spirit moving, there's nothing we would have to do. We would just literally just, okay, well, let's wait then. Not do anything. And one day the Holy Spirit is going to turn up. But Jesus said to these guys, you guys are going to be going to the ends of the earth.
Right.
But before you start, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to move all over the place. But it's only once He's in you that it's then going to take place. And the Holy Spirit's going to go to the ends of the earth. Because He's going to go to the ends of the earth inside your life.
Very good. Come on.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
And so we start off with the groom is coming soon. Let's keep our wicks trimmed. Then it says, we're keeping short accounts and everything with God. Then it talks about what we've been given. We have the full inheritance of who Christ is. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. You've got all the authority of heaven. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations. So teach them, baptizing them, teach them to obey everything. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So He's saying, look, guys, come on. There's loads to do. You've got everything you need just by faith now. Just believe what you have. Have a go. Begin to do something. Don't let fear intimidate you. Don't let circumstances get a hold of you. Just have a go. And in the having a go, the Holy Spirit can then get a hold of you and lead you, guide you, show you what to do. But you've got to have a go. You've got to move towards something. And then right at the end here, the practicality of what is having a go. Having a go is moving towards somebody that does not have God in their life. And as you move towards people, the Holy Spirit says, go this way, go that way. That's the person. These are the people. That's the situation. And as we move towards those things, and a lot of it is very, very practical. Quite often when we meet somebody, we want them to be saved like now. You know, you've had a 30-second conversation. Introduce yourself. Come on, hurry up. Give your life to Jesus. What's the matter with you? Why haven't you done it yet? Come on, Holy Spirit, you're not moving. Where are you? I'm obviously not in revival yet because nothing's happening. Oh my word, you do your head in if you live like that.
Absolutely.
You do other people's heads in also. Look at the disciples when Jesus called them. They wanted to follow him, but they didn't have a clue. When did the disciples actually get born again? It wasn't the day they started following Jesus. There's different answers to that question. Was it when he walked into the room after he was resurrected and he breathed on them and they all received the Holy Spirit? Was it then? Was it when he commissioned them? Before that, go out in my name, go ahead of me and prepare all this stuff and whatever you do, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast them. Well, you couldn't do that if you're not saved, could you? Was it at the point when Jesus said to the guys, for example, Peter and his brother, and he said, come follow me, and it says they left everything and they followed him. Was it that point? Boom, they got born again because they suddenly left everything and they went, right, we're going to follow this guy. When did they repent? I don't know. But actually, for me, I'm not saying this is it, okay? But for me, that moment when Jesus said to somebody, follow me, and they left everything. And they said, right, this is it. I'm following you. That's it. I'm not going back. I'm just going to give my life to you. Because that's actually what being born again means. When you drop everything, your whole life stops at that moment. You say, right, I let go of absolutely everything. I let it go. I dropped the lot. Now I'm going to follow you, Jesus. That doesn't mean you jack your job in, you know. But see, that's what being born again is. You're going one way and then suddenly you then are going another way. But you see, even at that moment, even if that's the point that something happened in them when they say, Jesus, we're going to follow you for the rest of it, even if that's the point, they knew absolutely nothing at that moment. How many people, when they get born again, can suddenly quote the Bible at you, tell you loads of stories and all of that? They don't. They know zip-de-doo. All they know is that suddenly Jesus is real and I've got to know him. They don't know the guy, but they just know he's real. Somehow they just know that's my destiny. That's my purpose. That's why I'm alive. Suddenly it all makes sense, but I don't understand it. And the same way with the disciples, they began to walk with Jesus. Even that day, it talks about he was preaching, healing the sick, and you can imagine their jaws hitting the floor. It's like, who is this bloke? He stops storms, he raises the dead, limbs are popping out, eyes are appearing, cripples are walking. Who is this bloke? Same with new believers, you know. We expect, you know, we have a two-second conversation. We're wondering why on earth they're not repenting all over the floor. Well, hopefully one day that will happen.
Come on.
And things like that are beginning to happen, you know, where people are coming under conviction just because if we're living under conviction ourselves or keeping short accounts with God ourselves, the same thing will happen with other people. Yeah. If you're keeping short accounts with God and you're There's I don't know how it works. There's a spiritual reality that goes on. And if you're keeping short accounts with God and you're really walking with God in that way, when you're with others, they come under conviction because there's something about the reality of the life of the Spirit in you that then overtakes their spirit and begins to work on them in a situation. I love that. You know, when you're the Spirit in you overtakes the spirit that is going on in them. Why not? How many of you know the Holy Spirit is more powerful than any other spirit around? So when you turn up, why shouldn't there be more going on from you than coming the other way from somebody else? Because you have that overcoming, victorious spirit on the inside of you.
That's it.
And so in the same way the disciples began to realize and get to know Jesus as they were walking with him and saw him at work, so those who come to know the Lord, they know Jesus is real, he's alive, I want to know him, but they don't know a lot, and so that's why then they learn on the way. As they see God move in their own lives and through your life, and that's why making disciples is so important. But they've got to see the activity of God, not just hear about it from us.
Very good.
Let's all stand together, shall we? Be ready, live ready, right? Live like Jesus coming back today or tomorrow or whatever. Keep short accounts. You've been given everything you need. Fullness of life, fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the goodness of God. Very practical ways in terms of touching people's lives. Very tangible way. In the same way that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, so have you been anointed with the same Holy Spirit and the same power as Jesus did. You know, when you study doing good in the Bible, doing good can, what it covers is anything from giving somebody a drink of water through to raising the dead. That's what doing good means. Doing good in the Bible is not just giving somebody a drink, helping them across the road, giving them a bit of clothing. It's also healing the sick, raising the dead. That's part of it. It then also says that he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. Demonic activity in people's lives. And so you're anointed already to do that. You see, sometimes we equate being ready or anointed to do that once we've seen it happen. And then we say, right, now I'm anointed because I've seen it. No, God says, no, hang on a minute. No, you're anointed before you've seen it. You've already got the power before you've seen it. You've already got the stuff before you've seen it. So your experience can't dictate to you what you can and can't do. The word of God dictates to you and me what we can and can't do. And so he says, now you have it, now you can see it. But all you've got to do is just have a go, take a step, make a move, and my Holy Spirit can lead you, guide you, and see what happens.
Yes.
Just raise your hands. Father, I thank you that we have a room this morning. And whoever's listening to this message, as they raise their hands right now, Father, I thank you that we have a people that are fully loaded with you, fully loaded with who you are, with your life, with your power, with your authority, with your grace and your mercy, with your compassion. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Be ready, live ready. Now, just quickly, if you know there's an issue with any other person, just resolve that in your heart now. Live ready, be ready to live ready. If you know if you've got any issue with somebody, you know there's an angst about something, or just quickly deal with it. Father, I want to keep short accounts with you. Don't go by a feeling now. Just make a choice, a decision. Right, I choose to forgive that person now. I choose to let go of whether I'm right or wrong. Right now, I choose to forgive and let it go. Father, I'm sorry for holding a bad attitude towards somebody. I ask you to forgive me for snapping back at somebody. Father, I ask you to forgive me for not honoring this person or that person. Father, I'm sorry that I've only, you know, gone halfway to kind of do it because I'm supposed to, rather than willingly doing something that I know I've been asked to do or it's right to do. So, Father, I thank you that you just deal with that dirt right now. I thank you for a clean wick. A cut wick right now that is ready to be lit, ready. Father, I thank you for that supply of oil that is in my life, that walk with you today. That my lamp's not going to run out, that I'm here for the long haul, the long journey, that how I finish is just as important as how I've started or what I'm doing along the way. Father, I thank you that you've called me to be a marathon runner, somebody who's going to get right to the end of the race. And it's going to have still a supply of stuff even beyond that, because I'm walking with you. And when I'm walking with you, there's an unlimited supply of oil. That's a great thing. When you're walking with God, there's an unlimited supply of oil, of anointing, of resources, of supply, of whatever it is. As you're walking with God, you walk in provision, no matter what that might be, for what you need, for the situation.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank. Just thank Him now that He's loaded you with talents. He's, you know, with whatever gospel you read, there's different things. Whether it's a gift or it's money, you know, in terms of ability, or whether it's finances, whatever it is, God's loaded you up. He's given you what you need. You see, I believe there's different times in our life, you know, where. Well, we grow. The guy who had 5,000 talents or whatever he was given, at one stage he was a 1,000 talent guy. But when the master was going on a journey, he knew, well, that guy's been around a while. He's trustworthy because he's already proved himself. He had 1,000 before and he made 2, and now that 2's become 5. And so in terms of how that guy served the master, the master looked and said, I can entrust this guy with 5,000 because he's actually grown to 5,000. Even though he might not have put 5,000 in his hand before, he's proved faithful and he's proved that he's a good worker, and therefore I can entrust him with more because he's going to see more. The other guy, well, he's 2,000 because he's still growing. He's not been around as long as the other guy and not as experienced or whatever. And so I'm going to give him a couple of thousand and he's going to do something with that. And that guy's a 1,000. He's a bit more at the beginning. He's learning. He's growing. And hopefully if I give him 1,000, he's going to do something with it. But even if he doesn't, at least if he puts it on interest, I'll come back and there'll be some sort of fruit from his life. You see, and as the guy with 5 moved and walked with God, the fruit of his life increased to 10,000. The guy who had 2, and as he walked with God and saw God work through his life, he became a 4,000 producer, if you like, of fruit. And so there's growth related to things. And it's not that God says, right, well, you're a 1,000 person, that's it. You're a 2,000, that's it. Or you're a 5,000, that's it. He doesn't look round and say, Pastor Gary Rumbold is a 5,000 person and Pastor Clive's a 2,000 person. Well, that's it. So Gary can produce a lot more than Clive or than Pastor Jonathan Dyke or anything. No, God says, right, at this stage in their life, they walk to 2,000 kind of life, and I want them to become a 4,000 producer. So I'm going to begin to stretch them, and I'm going to begin to put something in front of them and say, now come on, step into that 4,000 realm, step into that fruitful realm of your life. It's going to stretch you. You're going to have to go by faith a bit more. And then when I come back and see your 4,000, that's brilliant. Then I'm going to say, come and rule and reign with me. Then I'm going to step you up into even greater fruitfulness in terms of your life. And so we're talking about walking, growing in the things of God, growing in fruitfulness. So don't think this morning, well, I'm only a 1,000 person. No, 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 no. What God is saying is, whatever I've put in your hands at this point, use it to the full. Use it to the max. Do something with it. Have a go. Don't bury it. Step out and pray for the person. Step out and share the gospel. Step out and do something. Believe me. Believe beyond what you've seen before. Have a go. That's what he's kind of saying.
Come on.
So, Father, I thank you for a have a go people in this room this morning. Father, we praise your wonderful name.
Yes.
We thank you that you speak fruitfulness over our life. You're singing fruitfulness over our life. Thank you that you're speaking increase over every one of our lives. And so, Father, I thank you that today, this week, is a week of fruitfulness and increase. These coming weeks are weeks of influence and increase and fruitfulness and your kingdom being extended into many, many other people's lives in these coming days. We praise your wonderful, mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.